Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. As you might be able to tell from the accent, I am from Wales, but I just want to clear something up ever so quickly. I didn't even know that Wales had a rugby team. I've never watched a game of rugby in my life. I've never seen a Six Nations match. So if you do have anything to say about the Welsh rugby team, it's going to fall on deaf ears because I'm not a rugby supporter. So there we are. But I am from Wales. I was an aircraft engineer for 15 years before the Lord called me into full-time ministry. And I've been serving the Lord at Bethany Baptist Church in Pusgwine, in a little town in South Wales, for the last 17 years. And we've seen the Lord do incredible things there in Wales. It is a land in desperate need of revival again. The revivals of the past are gone and forgotten, but the Lord's not finished saving souls yet. So if you could pray for the work in Wales, we'd appreciate that. My wife Joanna is with me this week, so just a blessing to be able to come over and minister with you. We've got two daughters. Eve, my youngest, is in her final year of university in Swansea, and my eldest daughter Hannah lives in America, in Knoxville, Tennessee, with her husband Daniel, and they just had a little baby girl who's coming up to one now. So I know what you're thinking. I don't look old enough to be a grandfather, but my wife certainly looks old enough to be a grandmother. So, praise the Lord. Amen. I would encourage you to come every night this week, not just to come to church, but because by Friday night, you might be able to understand my accent. So this is just training in order for you to be able to understand what I'm saying by the end of the week. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, if we can turn to Genesis chapter 39. And the theme of this week is prison experiences of the Bible. And I know Johnny asked a question earlier to the kids if anybody's ever been to prison. And it's difficult sometimes to understand how somebody's feeling if you've never been in that particular situation. And you might say, well, I've never been to prison. I don't know what that feels like. So I can't really empathize now with what you're saying in regards to these prison experiences of the Bible. But today, every single one of us can say, I know what it felt like to be isolated. I know what it felt like to be a prisoner in some sense, because in 2020, every single one of us was asked to be incarcerated. We were prisoners effectively in our own home. Because of COVID, we were asked to stay where we were, to not go anywhere. And it was incredible how many people struggled mentally because of that confinement. So we have some idea of what it feels like to be isolated. We were separated from our families. We were separated from our friends. We were separated from our church. And it can be lonely. The interesting thing through COVID was the lessons that people learned whilst they were on their own. Now, for some people, the prison experience of COVID caused them to drift away from the Lord. They were unhappy with what God had done. They were unhappy with the situation they found themselves in, and they became bitter and angry towards the Lord. And then there were some people that the Lord really spoke to, that they grew as believers in Christ, because maybe for the first time in their lives, they depended fully upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps they prayed more because of the time that they had. Perhaps they read their scripture more because of the isolation that they felt. I'm saying all of that to say this. Prison experiences can really help. Now, that might not be a physical incarceration, but it might be a situation you find yourself in work that you feel trapped in. It might be a relationship that you find yourself in that there's no way out of. It might be a health problem that you feel like you are absolutely at your wit's end. And I want us to know that we can learn from the prison experiences of the Bible. In the Old Testament times, there were no prisons. God didn't build prisons. He wanted things to be sorted out quickly, which is why God's law was quite effective in dealing with certain crimes, for certain repayments to those crimes. A few of God's men did find themselves in prison. We're going to look at people like Joseph, Samson, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Peter, and Paul, who all had prison experiences. And we're going to close off on Friday night looking at Abraham. And you might think to yourself, well, when was Abraham in prison? Well, if you want to know when he was in prison, come along on Friday night and I'll share with you his prison experience. But even though God didn't order his people to build prisons, some of his men did spend time in these prisons. And what I want us to look at is what they learned from those experiences. What was God teaching them during those times of incarceration? And the first character we're going to look at is Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 39 and in verse 20, and this is after the incident with Potiphar's wife, it says in Genesis 39 and verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Father, we thank you again for this time together today, for the opportunity to come around your word, and for the privilege we have, Lord, to be able to gather in this way. Father, sometimes we take these freedoms for granted and we don't appreciate what we have until they're taken from us, Lord. But Father, I'm thankful for the freedom we have at this moment in time to gather in a place like this to praise and worship your name. And Father, I pray for each person gathered here today, and whatever the need is, I pray that needs would be met and burdens would be lifted. Maybe there's somebody here today that feels trapped in a particular situation they face in life. And maybe that's a health problem. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's an issue in work. But Father, there are many times in our lives we feel completely hemmed in with no hope of escape. And that feels like a prison to us. But Lord, I pray through the course of this week you would teach us exactly what we can learn from these prison experiences that we face in our lives, as we look at the prison experiences of the Bible characters faced during their time. So Father, we just pray now that everything which is said and done today would bring you glory, honor and praise, and that you would speak to our hearts in such a way that it would indeed change us and challenge us and equip us to face what the world battles against us each and every day. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Joseph finds himself in prison, not because of anything he's done. He has made a stand, he's made a moral stand against the advances of Potiphar's wife, and he ends up in prison. He was there because Potiphar wanted to punish him, but what we need to understand is that Joseph had to go to that prison in order for God to promote him. So what we see in our life sometimes as something that is difficult and harsh and not easy to comprehend, we don't see the full picture. It's only now, looking back at Joseph's life, we can echo those words of Joseph that God meant this for good. But I'm sure during his time in prison, Joseph didn't think, oh yeah, this is a good thing. I don't think any of us, through the time of COVID, sat in our houses and for some people, afraid and alone and petrified of what was happening. I don't think any of us thought, yeah, this is really good. Because it was a tough time. It was a hard time. And sometimes God brings situations and circumstances into our lives, not to punish us, but sometimes to promote us, to help us grow in our walk with the Lord. This is what we need to understand. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are never static. What I mean is, we are either growing in our walk with the Lord, or we are diminishing in our commitment to the Lord. We never stay still. There's never a time as believers where we are just happily treading water, as it were. Our call is to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Sometimes we do that by trying and difficult circumstances in our lives. The only way a muscle will grow is when a muscle is torn, and then the body repairs that muscle and the muscle grows in strength and in size. Sometimes in order for us to grow as believers in Christ, there needs to be a tearing process. There needs to be a time of trial, a time of testing. Because it's in those times that we really learn to rely upon the Lord. We see in Joseph the trials of this prison. Joseph's prison is a time of difficulty in his life. It's a painful time. It says in verse 20 that he was put in prison. That word put there, even though there's no mention of abuse, we find in verse 3 of chapter 40 that he was bound in that prison. In Psalm 105 and verse 18, it says that Joseph's feet, they were hurt with fetters, that he was laid in iron. This was a painful time in Joseph's life. And I don't know about you, but in my years as a believer in Christ, I've never gone through my whole Christian life with no painful issues at all. Sometimes we go through difficulties and we fail to understand why we're going through that pain. We fail to understand why we have to go through that hurt. And it's only sometimes when we come through on the other side, it's only when we get through the valley that we appreciate the mountaintop. Joseph certainly didn't have an easy time in prison, and it was a time of trial. It was a time of testing. It has been said that those who God would use greatly, he first hurts deeply. I'm saying that to say this. Don't run away from the difficulties that God brings into our lives. Try and embrace them to understand that God wants us to grow through those difficulties. You know, there were times when we were, again, locked up in COVID in our own homes where it was painful. There were times when it was bewildering. It made no sense. And I wonder how many times Joseph questioned God's purpose. Let me ask you this question then. How could we kind of say, yeah, Joseph at some point would have questioned God's purpose for his life? Why could we say that with 100% certainty? How could we say that God would have questioned, that Joseph would have questioned God's purpose for his life? How do we know that he would have? Let me ask you this then. There were two instances in Joseph's life that are recorded in the scripture that he shared with his brothers. What were those instances? What did he have that God showed Joseph that he would be elevated to a place of prominence? Okay, Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's go back right to the very beginning. What did Joseph have? Two times that showed he would be elevated to a place of prominence. His dreams. God gave Joseph two dreams that showed that at one point in his life, he would have people bowing down towards him. So how do we know that Joseph questioned what God was doing in his life? Because God had already said to him, people are going to bow down to you. Can you imagine Joseph being in prison thinking, there was nothing in the dream about this. You know, I saw stars and a moon and a sun and all of these things bowing down to me. And I was in a field and there were these sheaves and they were all bowing down to my sheep. And it was all quite pleasant and bubbly and happy feeling. Prison is not a pleasant place. It's a confusing time for Joseph. And sometimes when we find ourselves in a time of difficulty and in a time of pain, it can be confusing. Because surely God wants what's best for us. So why would God allow us to go through these difficulties? Surely Joseph must have questioned, why did his brothers hate him so much? Why was he sold as a slave to Egypt? Why was he persecuted in Potiphar's house when he was doing everything above board and to the letter of the Lord and he was serving his master and he's falsely accused and thrown in prison and that just shouldn't have happened. The difficulty that we face when we're in a prison experience is that it doesn't make sense. Why has this happened to me? Why have I been diagnosed with this health issue? Why is this not worked out in work? Why is this relationship not worked out? Why do I just feel so trapped and confused and afraid and alone? There was a mother who lost her little boy in a tragic car accident, and they were so bitter towards God that they came, that the parents came to the pastor and said to them, the pastor, where was God when my son died? And the pastor simply replied, the same place he was when his son died. God knows exactly what we are going through. He knows what we're feeling. He knows the confusion that we have when life throws us a curveball. He knows the difficulties that we face when we have issues with our health. But he's the one that we ought to turn to in times of difficulty. He's not the one we ought to run away from. Now, we don't know how long Joseph was in prison. What we do know is that he went to Egypt at about the age of 17. And when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years of age. So there's a period of 17 years have passed from Joseph leaving his brothers until he stood before Pharaoh. Now, after he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker in the prison, we know that it was 2 full years after that interpretation that he finally came before Pharaoh. In Genesis 41 verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and we know then that he asked for the interpretation of what that dream meant. So we don't know how long Joseph was in prison, but it could have been anywhere from as much as 13 years to as little as 2 years. But any amount of time is long. I mean, for some people, we were only in our houses for a matter of months. You know, both those sets of parents had incredibly bad health issues, and they didn't go outside the door for months. But it felt like forever. When we are going through a time of trial, when we are going through a time of difficulty, it feels like forever. It feels like we're never going to come through on the other side. It feels like we're never going to get past this time of hurt. You know, it took 15 years from David being anointed to be king by Samuel until he actually got to the throne. Can I ask you this question? Were those times plain sailing for David? No. Saul tried to kill him. David was running. He was on the run. He was hiding in caves. He'd lost his friends, his family, and yet God said, one day, David, you're going to be king. I'm saying that to say this. Our life is not going to be all plain sailing. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, since becoming a Christian, I've never had one single health problem, never had one single financial issue, I've never argued at home, your kids are fantastic, you know, you've never had an argument with your wife. I've never had an argument with my wife because I don't like to interrupt her, but that's another point. We've never argued at home, we've never had a problem in work, you know, our whole life since becoming a Christian has been perfect. Does that describe your life as a believer? No, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough. Because you become a believer in Christ and all of a sudden, the whole world becomes your enemy. Satan gets madder at you than he was before because you're no longer his child, you're his child. And being a Christian can be hard. And sometimes we go through a time of pain and a time of trial and we think, this is never going to end. For Joseph, he faced many trials in this prison. But in that prison, there was God's supply. God supplied for Joseph in that prison. It says in Genesis 39 and verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. So when Joseph was in the lowest moment of his life, God supplied his presence for Joseph there in the prison. He didn't go into that prison alone. Every time we face a difficulty, every time we face trial, every time we go through a health problem, every time we go through a financial issue, every time we go through a relationship problem, God is there with us. God promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a comfort that is. Isaiah said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When it came time for Noah and his family to go into the ark, what did God say to Noah? Did God say, go into the ark? What did God say? What were God's words when Noah went into the ark? Come into the ark. It was an invitation. What does that mean? It means that God was in the ark with Noah. One of the most trying times of Noah's life. He was a preacher of righteousness. He'd never built a boat in his life. There was no water around. Can you imagine the ridicule and the mockery and the laughter that he suffered for those years? And then God said to him, come into the ark. When we go through times of difficulties, God is with us. And that's something we need to hold on to. That's something we ought not to take for granted. When Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah went into the fiery furnace because they would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image, what did Nebuchadnezzar say? Did not we cast 3 men alive into the fire? And lo, there are 4 men loose, walking around. And the 4th man looks like the Son of God. When you go through the darkest valley, when you go through the fiery trials, God is there with us. When the floods of life overwhelm you, when the prison experiences hem you in, God is right there in the midst with us. And it's at those times we not only experience God's presence, we experience His grace. We have a peace that passes understanding. It says that in that prison in verse 21, that God showed him mercy. The Lord was with Joseph and he showed him mercy. That word can also mean loving kindness. It carries the idea of the New Testament word grace. God gave Joseph the power and the strength he needed to go through the times of difficulty. And he does the same for us. When we feel like we just can't keep going. When we feel like just giving up, when we just simply can't put another foot in front of the other. And then God comes alongside us and says, child, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in your weakness, that's when my strength is seen. Paul's thorn in the flesh is not named, but he knew that God's grace was sufficient. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. It's incredible that at times when we feel like we are hemmed in, that we are trapped, that we are afraid, alone, in a difficult situation, that God simply can't use me. But God used Joseph in an incredible way, even in the prison. God had a purpose for Joseph being in that prison. Joseph was there locked away amongst the vilest of criminals in Egypt, and yet God allowed Joseph's light to shine more than anything. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God uses our trials to shine His light to those who are watching us go through those times of difficulty. There was a benefit to this prison. God had to get Joseph, in order to get Joseph promoted to the palace, God had to use Joseph's punishment in the prison as a stepping stone. You know, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of looking back on Joseph's life and saying, you know, even as we read the story and as he tells his dreams to his brothers and his family, we have the benefit of having the whole counsel of God in front of us. We can say, yeah, it all worked out. Don't worry, Joseph. It'll all be fine in the end. Don't panic about it. Joseph didn't have the complete scriptures in his hand. They hadn't been written. So as Joseph is being thrown into the pit, as his brothers discuss either killing him or selling him, what must have been going through his mind? This is not part of God's plan, surely. As he heads off to Egypt as a slave, and as he goes into Potiphar's house, maybe Joseph thought, oh, right, okay, now I can see my purpose. And then Potiphar's wife does what she does and falsely accuses him of sexual advances. And then Potiphar has Joseph thrown in prison, and he may have thought, what's happening now? I don't see the purpose in this. And then Joseph is in the right place at the right time to interpret the dreams of two men that Pharaoh had thrown in prison. And it's that moment that was actually the stepping stone to Joseph's release. What if Joseph had turned around in the prison and said, yeah, I could interpret your dreams. God gave me a gift, but you know what? He's been silent for the last couple of years. I've been hard done by. This problem happened and that problem happened and that problem. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not playing his game. It's my ball and I'm taking it home. I don't want to play anymore. What if Joseph had turned around and said, God, I'm not doing it. I'm not interpreting their dreams. If Joseph had pouted in the prison, he would never have used the gift that God gave him to interpret the dream that eventually led to him standing before Pharaoh to interpret Pharaoh's dream, which eventually led to Joseph saving the nation of Israel. As Jacob and the rest of his brothers, his dad and the rest of his brothers came down to Egypt, and in Egypt, the nation of Israel flourished. If Joseph had not interpreted the dream in the prison using the gift that God gave him, Joseph would never have saved his whole family. Let me ask you this question. Judah just so happened to be one of Joseph's brothers. What's so special about Judah? Well, if Judah had died in the famine back up in Canaan, what would have happened to the line that the Messiah was to come from? You see, when we go through a time of difficulty and when something doesn't go away, what do we do? Oh, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not playing anymore. I'm not doing this. It's God's fault. So we blame the church, or we blame the church people, or we blame as many people as we want to blame instead of saying, okay, God's got me here for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is, but I'm going to serve him no matter what. Do you know the amount of people that have left church because they pouted over something stupid? My pastor was from North Carolina, and he used to tell me a story of a church split, and I never believed him because it just sounded so farcical. And one day when I was in North Carolina with my pastor, he took me and showed me the evidence of the story that he used to tell. This was the story. There was a church in North Carolina called Hope Baptist Church. And the church split. And do you want to know why they split? It wasn't because they denied the doctrine of the doctrine of the virgin birth. It wasn't because they denied the doctrine of the resurrection or the full sufficiency of Christ's death upon the cross for the sins of mankind. It was because one half of the congregation wanted a red carpet and the other half of the congregation wanted a blue carpet. So the church split. And half of the church went less than a mile down the road and they started New Hope Baptist Church. And guess what? After a while, that church split. I can't remember what they split over, but they split. So half of that congregation went further down the road and they started another church. And guess what that was called? New Hope Baptist Church. And in the space of 2 miles down one stretch of road, there are these three churches that don't promote the glory of God and don't promote the fact that God is doing the work. It just promotes the fact that church people are difficult. And we pout a lot. Do you know church would be perfect if it wasn't for you lot? Somebody once said to me, I'm looking for the perfect church. I said, well, you won't find it here. And when you do join, you'll end up making it not perfect. People pout sometimes over the daftest things. But we need to recognize that God is in control. Maybe he's brought us to this difficult situation so that we can rely upon him more, rather than turning away from him. We may never understand this, but if we honour God in those prison experiences of our lives, he will honour us. Joseph did exactly what he was meant to do for God. Remember, he gave the credit to God. He said to the prisoners, I can't interpret dreams, but the interpretation belongs to the Lord. This is the gift that God has given me. If Joseph had not exercised that God-given gift, he would never have had the opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. Joseph is careful to give all the glory to the Lord. God did things in Joseph's life that helped develop his character. Sometimes the reason that we have to go through these prison experiences is so that our character can be developed. So we can rely more heavily upon the Lord. There are times where things can go so smoothly for us that we kind of take our eyes off the Saviour. But when we go through a time of difficulty, that's when we turn to him in a time of prayer and say, Lord, why is this happening? That's when we pray more earnestly. That's when we seek his face in the scripture more diligently. That's when we cry out to him more consistently. God sees the end result. I don't know any, I know one or two of you in the congregation, but I don't know all of you. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what difficulties you're going through. I don't know where you are in your Christian walk. But God knows exactly what each and every one of us faces. God knows the type of prison that we're in. Whether it's a health problem, a financial problem, a relationship problem, a work problem, a home problem, a family problem. God knows where we are. But instead of us turning our back on him and pouting because of the difficulty we find ourselves in, let's recognize the fact that God is in control. God knows what he is doing. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. We need to be able to say, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to trust him. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to be a witness for him. No matter what happens in my life, good or bad, I want God to receive all glory for it. The world watches us as believers. If you're in a workplace and you're the only person that is saved by the blood of Christ in that workplace, they can't wait for you to slip up and mess up. And they watch us. Do you know what brings God the most glory is when they see you going through a time of difficulty, they say, how did you get through that? How did you go through that trial with such a smile on your face? How did you go through that difficulty with such joy in your heart? And that's the time that we're able to say, I didn't. But he did. No matter what comes our way, we will do all we can to honour the Lord in that situation. If you were in a prison right now, God wants to promote you. To what? To the next stage of your development as a believer in Christ. Some are just still on the milk and are still crawling around as babes in Christ. Some are toddlers and have kind of started to learn to walk, but still throw their toys out of the cot every now and again when things don't go their way. God wants us to mature, to believers in Christ that always bring him glory in everything that we do. And sometimes we've got to go through a time of difficulty in order for us to realize that he's still in control. And only he's the one that can get us through those times and ultimately can gain all the glory from it. I wondered if you were in a type of prison today If you are, I want you to know that God's not forgotten about you. No matter how long you've been in that difficulty, God's not turned his back on you. If you were saved by the blood of Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then God has made a promise to us that he cannot break, because God cannot lie. He's promised to never leave you and never forsake you. And even in your loneliest time, even in your darkest prison, even in your fieriest trial, even in your fiercest storm, God will calm the waters. God will quench the flames. God will let his presence know. And we can get through these prison experiences that we face. And God can use them to promote us in a way that would never have happened if everything had just gone smooth for our whole Christian walk. Prisons are not pleasant. They're not meant to be pleasant. They're meant to learn and correct. And sometimes God brings that experience into our lives so that we can learn. It can correct us. But ultimately it can promote us to be the person that we need to be as we walk, work, witness, and worship the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together today and for this opportunity to come around your word. And Father, you know the heart of each person here today, Lord. You know the difficulties that some are facing. And Father, maybe the question has been asked, why me? Maybe the question has been asked, Lord, how long do I have to go through this? Maybe the question has been asked, Lord, where are you? And Father, I pray that right now they would know that you are with them. I pray that they would know that no matter how long it takes, your grace is sufficient. And I want them to know that if they ask, why me? That you see a purpose in their lives that they might not see right now. Joseph could not see standing before Pharaoh. Joseph could not see rescuing an entire nation. He may not have understood the full implications of the dreams that he had, but you had a purpose for his life. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you have a purpose for each and every one of our lives. So, Father, I pray that we would recognize the fact that we are not alone in these difficulties, that you are with us, that you will see us through, and that even through those times of difficulty, we can grow, and that you will receive the glory. So, Father, would you just continue to bless us as we meet this evening, Lord. Bless the table, Lord, as in a little while as we're about to come around and partake of these elements. And, Father, I pray that you would bless this week of meetings, and that they may be a help and a blessing and a benefit and a comfort and a challenge to somebody this week. So, Father, I just pray that your will be done in all that takes place here. So we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. I serve a risen Saviour. Amen.